Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, now, is joy of the Lord your strength this morning? Is it?
Yes.
Okay, now we're all awake here now. Praise God for that. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we got 12 to 21. It says, be reconciled to God. For we do not command ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are sound mind, it is for you. The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For we have made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Please bow and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we are in awesome of your presence here today. Thank you, Lord, for a special day of giving us this joy, Lord, is our strength. We'll be glad and rejoice in it, Father God. Thank you, Lord. I just came to mind a second ago, Father, as I often have conversations like this with you, Lord, and I said, you know, you thought about the woman at the well, and you washed in the word, and you mentioned to that lady, if she could take a drink from the water you give, she wouldn't thirst again. Now I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that word going forth today through our Pastor Matt Worrell would touch us in such a way, because he does it every week, every day, and all the teachings here at Grace, that we would receive that. Everything that we need to receive today would be done in Jesus' name. Hunger for him. Hunger through the word. Washed in the word. Cleansed. Everything's there that we need. We don't have to go looking for anything out there beyond these walls. It's here, but it's here with us all the time, because as you reside in each one of us going forward, we already know what we need to do on a daily basis. Be about the Father's business, you said, that today is that day. We need to hear from you. We're needy people. But I said, knowing that Pastor Matt Worrell, his mind, his heart, his tongue, as the word goes through him like rivers of living water, that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and thank you for this body, everyone here, Lord God, online, they're special in your eyes. Receive what we need to receive today, going forth those highways and byways, like I say, to do, be about the Father's business today. Whatever we do, wherever we go, may each and every one step up and do what we're all called to do. Not looking left and right, but it's just automatic, because it's the Christ in us that keeps us going in you. We're blessed always to have you with us, come alongside of us like a brother or a friend. And we need those times, because I know everybody's going through different things. And like we had in our prayer time this morning, so many people need a touch from you, Lord Jesus. Physical, spiritual, and those are coming. Your timing's going to be perfect in that. We're going to receive everything we need to receive. The ones that are not here today are going to be touched. And the ones that are here, address those needs for the Father. Concerned just like our earthly Father. He was concerned about us. The thing is, you know, when they've, of course, if they're with you, Lord, and they passed on, and but if some are still alive, you look up to our parents. We thank you, Lord, for them. We ask you to they continue and give us favor, give us the blessings in our families going forward to encourage us what we face on a daily basis. But it does start with you today, and it ends with you today. So help us be about the business of continuing reading the Word to communicate with with you, Lord, as our Heavenly Father today, and the thing is to pray. So effectual, firm prayer, righteous man avails much. And it does. And it will each and every day going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And if you all would turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. Once again, we're going back to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, I'm going to read verse 6 through 15. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Now the land had rest from war. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will make this message this morning clear to each and every one of us. Father, I believe every one of us will gain from this message. Give us ears to hear what you're saying by your Spirit. And Lord, I present to you myself, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, as I do every week, that you would fill me with your word. Fill me, Lord God, with your Spirit. I confess to you, Lord, I cannot do this without you. I need your anointing. I need, Lord, your presence to be manifest in me. Lord, that you will make your word known to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. As we saw last week, the word that is in the Hebrews saying holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y. The Hebrew word is malemala, and it means to be full of. It means to be fenced in or flow with. It means to replenish, and it means to satisfy. And those are the 5 points of this message. Caleb was full of God. He was fenced in by God. He flowed with God. He was replenished by God. And he was just downright satisfied with God. And these are characteristics that I believe that God wants to build in each and every one of his believers. Last week we looked at the first point. Caleb was full of God. All Caleb said and did was the focus of the Lord. He was full of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, if you remember, that says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." What Paul was saying to the Ephesian church in that was, don't be filled with the things of this world, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And that word filled, do you remember what it means? The Greek word was plero. You remember what it means? Anybody remember what it means? It means to be crammed in. It means to be complete, a sense of no room for anything else. Now, I know that this is a radical understanding in the American church. In the American church, it seems like they want to be go to church on Sunday and in the world on Monday through Friday and Saturday, repentance and Sunday, go to church. God wants you and he wants me to be so filled with him. You remember that? You remember you sitting right there, right? Yeah. You remember that? How? This is just a refresher, okay?
Come on.
I love water. It tastes so good.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, maybe I'll go over on this side this time, huh? To be filled with, crammed in, complete, a sense of no room for anything else. As you can see right now in this bottle, there is some room in there, right? Very little room in this one. But you know, God has a way in it with his people that he squeezes you. You ever been squeezed by God?
Many times.
You know? He squeezes you. And all of a sudden you realize that what he's actually doing is not squeezing you, trying to empty you out. He's squeezing you, Lord, so that he can pour out. All right, so you can kind of pour out all over the floor. But in order for this to happen on a continual basis, is you also have to be filled. This is a continual thing.
Yes, it is.
It says you don't just get filled once.
No.
All right? Here we go. We're just filled right here. We're filled once, okay? Now this one is filled right to there's no room for anything else, right? Okay? So if there's no room for anything else in here, but unless God really squeezes me to get me to do what he's called me to do, some people just sit on their Holy Ghost derriere waiting for God to tell them to do something when God's already said, I have equipped you. I have given you gifts and callings. I opened doors for you to see what things need to be done, and you just sit there. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start squeezing you. All right, and I know I'm getting deacons mad at me again. All right, they'll get over it. It's only water, right? But you know, but then he relaxes, and what happens? I'm not fully filled. I have to be continually filled. When you put yourself in a position of being continually filled by the Lord, by his Spirit, this is what happens. He starts pouring himself in, and he doesn't even have to squeeze you. Because you just start to flow over everything. Everybody you come close to, you just drip Jesus, right? You know, wherever you come, you know, you just start dripping Jesus, don't you, right? Oh, gee, look at that, all over her feet. Oh, you know, you'll get over it. No, I was aiming for your feet, really. Praise God. Now my hand's all wet. Paul was saying here to the Ephesian church to be filled with the Lord to the place where you're just overflowing. Do not be drunk with wine. Don't be intoxicated by the things of the world. But be filled with the Spirit of God. When you allow yourself to be full of God, guess what happens? You draw so close to him that sin begins to have its a less and less effect on you. The closer you come to Jesus, addictions begin to fall off. I tried to master addictions for years and years. You ask Kathy. I made her life miserable. I really did. I thank God that God gave me her, because there are a lot of women would not have put up with what I put her through. But she saw in me what God wanted to do, and she knew what it was, even though she didn't know it was going to be a pastor or whatever. I think if she knew that, known that back then, she might have run too. But she stayed with me. And when I finally came to know Jesus Christ, truly know him as Lord, not just Savior, but Lord of my life. You know, he doesn't come in bits and pieces, by the way. He's either Lord of your life or he's not.
That's right.
That's the way it is.
That's
You know, and you know how much lordship he has in your life by how intoxicated you are by the things of the world. Paul said, be not intoxicated with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And when that happens, your life will change. I'll tell you, it will change drastically. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Caleb, this is the next point. Caleb was fenced in by God. That Hebrew word, holy, which is translated to be full of or to be fenced in, flow with, replenish, or satisfy. Caleb was fenced in by God. And what does it mean by being fenced in? A lot of us, we don't like boundaries. All right, we don't like fenced in. We as a kid, your mother would say, or your father would say, I don't want you to do that. What's the first thing your kid does? Right? That's the first thing. Yeah, you can laugh, but you did it to your parents too. We all did. Because there's an innate nature in us that is rooted in rebellion. And that has to be corrected in a child. And it continues to have to be corrected in us adults as well. But Caleb, he was fenced in. He allowed himself to be fenced in. What do I mean by that? Look at Numbers chapter 30, back where this all began. When they first came to the Promised Land. Did I say Hebrews 30? Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, in verse 30, and Numbers 14, verse 7 through 9. I want you to see these things, all right? Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. This is when they came back from spying out the land, the Promised Land. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Let us go up and take possession. What was he saying? He said, I've seen the Promised Land. This is where God has sent us in. This is what God has revealed to us. I see it. I've caught this vision. And I know God is telling us to go. He will equip us. Let's go. See, he was fenced in. He didn't look at anything else. What did the other 10 spies do? They saw that, but they looked at everything else. Oh, that land's got big. Big giants in the land, and they're bigger and taller and bigger and better than we are. And we can't do anything about them. And we're just insects. We're as grasshoppers in our own sight. Therefore, we are in theirs. And they missed out on capturing the vision. Caleb didn't miss out on it. He captured that vision in verse 7 of chapter 14 of Numbers. It says, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is Caleb and Joshua. Joshua caught the vision too, by the way. The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Don't rebel against the Lord, and don't fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You see, Caleb caught that vision. He saw that. He saw that the people there weren't going to be an enemy that they can't master, but they're actually going to be part of the bread and butter that's going to come to them. He saw that. He was fenced in with this. He didn't allow all this other stuff to weigh in. What he saw was what God wanted him to see, and in what he wanted to see, he saw God. And God himself said, take the land. He said, yes, sir. He saw the vision. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says this. In the King James, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. In the New King James, it still clarifies it a little bit. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, I've taught this verse many times, but it is worth hearing again. When it says that there is no revelation or there is no vision, What it means is a revelation given to you by God. If there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. They perish. The vision that is needed, the staying focused on that vision, keeps you fenced in. How does a hydroelectric plant power, make electricity? It funnels the water of the river into a smaller area where they put the turbines, that when that water goes rushing through, it turns the turbines and creates electricity. If they took the turbine and just set it out in the river, it wouldn't do anything. There has to be a fencing in of that water to make the power for the electricity. And this is what Caleb had. He had this vision, and it kept him reined in and it kept him harnessed. Now, you can ask me, well, I don't have a vision for my life. Well, then you need to get before God. Because I believe that God has created every single one of you with a specific purpose in His mind.
Yes.
And I mean, He created me to be a pastor. Now, 50 years ago, I thought God was nuts. You know, and 40 years ago, I was like, 30 years ago, I was like, Lord, why? But He gave me this vision. Every single one of us were created by God. Please understand this. When you were born, I don't care how old you are here, you were born one day. John Wilson, our elder saint here at Grace Christian Fellowship. There was a day he was born. And when he came out of the womb, his mother looked at him and goes, oh, what a beautiful little baby. His father went, yuck. But God looked at him with a purpose. John had a purpose in his, has a purpose. In, you know, one of the purposes that this man has in this life right now? He's an encourager. I have never known anybody that is such an encourager as John Wilson. I went to visit him this week. I don't get down very often to get to see him at Applewood, but I went down to see him. You know, the first thing he did, he looked at me with just this big smile and said, oh, Pastor, how are you doing? You are really a nice guy. John, you remember saying that? No, you're a really nice guy. I hadn't done anything yet. He's an encourager. You see, every single one of us, please understand, every single one of us have a purpose in this life. Every single one of us need to get before God and pray and ask God that He would give you a vision for your life. Why are you here? That's a big question that people in this world are asking all the time. Why am I here? What's the purpose of all of this? There is a purpose in this. The vision will be very personal. The second thing is it will be imparted by God. In Joshua chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua received an impartation of a vision for his life. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you. Here's the beginning of that vision. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. This is the promise that God had given Moses. It was a vision that He gave for Moses' life. And God wants to impart, I believe He wants to impart a vision for every single one of us. And that vision may not be the full thing in one shot. It may be something that comes in stepping stones. One step at a time. Now, you know what I'm talking about. One step at a time. God may see you where you want to be. He may give that to you. But it's not going to just go, hey, here. It's one step at a time to get to it. If you're not willing to take that one step and secure that step, then take the next step and secure that step. You'll never attain that vision. It will never come to pass. It will never be a true part of your life. But you got to take it one step at a time. The vision has a defined purpose. Why? And which is the answer. Why am I here? Well, I'm here as a pastor. I'm here as one to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people in this world. That's one of the things, you know, Kathy and I are going to be leaving here soon for 2 months. And we're going to miss you guys. We really are. You know, even more than that, you know, we're going to miss you a lot. But we need this time. We need this time away. We need this time of rest. And but we're not taking a sabbatical from the gospel. We will be stopping at rest areas, and we're going to be sharing the gospel with people. You know, you go in, you go to the rest area, and they lots of times have this big booth with a worker that's working there that gives you brochures of what's going on around in the area. They're locked there. They can't move. And you go right up there and start talking to them about Jesus. Yeah. It's amazing how you get to spread the gospel when you are willing to take that step of the stepping stone heading towards that vision. You know what the ultimate vision is for me? To come to the feet of Jesus on that day of reckoning and to say, just thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Because you did that, I can be here. That's the ultimate fulfillment of the vision he has given me for my life. It's a divine purpose. Number four, vision is attainable only through the Lord. You can't get there from here.
No, you can't.
You know, it's only attainable through the Lord. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible."
Right.
Listen, if you have a vision that you can attain it on your own, it's not from God.
Nope.
God will give you a vision for your life, but it'll be a vision you can't get there. Without him.
That's right.
You won't know how to get there without him. And it may be just those little stepping stones at a time, those baby steps at a time, but he will bring you to that place where it will come to pass. It's attainable only through the Lord. And the fifth one is that it becomes a motivational force in your life.
Yes.
A true vision from God becomes a motivational force in your life. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It becomes a motivational force in your life. Here, the writer of Hebrews is telling us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run the race with endurance, the race that is set before you. Giving you this vision, run towards it.
Yes.
Paul said, "I leave those things which are behind and I press on to that upward call of God in Christ Jesus." But he can't press on to it if he doesn't know what the call is. And I'm telling you, as I know a lot of people say, "I don't know what my calling is." And then you ask them, how much time do you spend in prayer about it? How much time do you study the scriptures about the calling of God? How much do you invest in finding out what it is? Because God wants you to know. He wants you to know. But he also wants you to press in for it. That's what Paul said. I press on. I press in to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a pressing factor. You remember a time, I can't do it because he's not here. Yeah. It's a big guy. I need a big guy. Todd, you're a big guy. Stand up.
That's a wise word right there.
You're bigger, taller than me, okay? Yeah. All right? Yeah. Press in. All right? I'm going to press in. You're going to resist me, okay?
Oh,
see, you've got to resist me.
I got a chair behind me.
The whole issue, though, is to press in. God gives you a vision, but you've got to press into it or you're not going to attain it. You know, Paul said, I press in to that upward call. I press on as well. You don't, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
You don't allow anything to hinder you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. It becomes a motivational force in your life. And Jesus was the example in this scripture. In verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, this is the vision that God had for himself, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, did not allow that cross to hinder, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah for that. Yes. God had a vision of you being in right standing before him. But the only way that you could be in right standing before him is if he would succeed in fulfilling the vision that the Father had given to him and be nailed on that cross and die on that cross, bleed on that cross, so that you could be free. He had that vision. When he hung on that cross, he had two that were hung with him. And one of them said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom. And Jesus said to him, what? Today you will be with me in paradise. Right there, that one person was the first fulfillment of the vision that Jesus had while he was still on that cross. Here's this man that's dying with me. He is literally dying with me. He recognized me as Lord. He asked me to please remember him. He's asking me for forgiveness. He's asking me for grace. He's asking me for mercy, and I give it to him.
That's right.
You see, this was the vision that Jesus had on the cross for you and for me. He didn't let anything get in his way to fulfill the vision the Father had given him. The responsibility the Father had given him. And he did. He fulfilled it. And he's given you and me a vision for our lives. I challenge you, if you don't know what it is, to press in. One of the ways you find out, one of those stepping stones, I'll say it again, is you see things that need to be done around you, get involved. God can't steer a parked car. You can sit in your little spiritual Volkswagen and go all you want. But until you put your spiritual Volkswagen in gear and give it a little gas and let the clutch out and get in motion, God can't steer you. But once you put yourself in motion, you'll notice that he'll start steering you in the right direction. And you'll find that vision will come to pass. Caleb was fenced in by God. We don't like fences, but they are so necessary. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he gets older, he will not depart from it. What is that? But that is putting fences up to train them. There was a study that was done. This was many, many years ago. There was a playground in this city that had traffic on all four sides of it, just, you know, whipping around and all. If you've been in the city, you know what I mean. And the kids were all, the area of their park, their playground, was the center was all beaten up, no grass or anything, but all the kids were playing in there. Why? Because they didn't feel safe getting towards the edge. Because they get towards the edge, you're getting close to the traffic, you know? And so what they did was they put a big fence up all the way around the whole perimeter of that. And immediately, the kids started playing all around. You know why? Because that fence gave them a place of safety that they didn't have any other way. When God sets his fence up, he says in that fence, explore everything inside this fence. It's all for your pleasure. It is all for your life. It is all for you. Oh, here's a fence. Marriage. There is a fence that God puts up on a man and a woman called marriage. And in that marriage, he sets that fence up. Is outside of that fence? That's sin. You stay inside the fence. But if you stay inside the fence, you two can explore everything inside that fence and enjoy and know that it is all a blessing from me. Hallelujah. Praise God. You want another fence? You work for an employer. And the employer says, this is what I want you to do. And you go, I really don't want to do that. But see, the employer is the one that signs the check called paycheck, right? And he has the authority to not sign that check or to make that check much smaller because he says, you're all done. He sets fences. When I worked for a contractor, I was given fences. This is what I was to do. If I wanted to go outside of that fence, the only way I could really legally go outside that fence is go to my boss and say, hey, this is what you assigned me to do, but you know something? I think I have a better idea. And I've had bosses that would say, you do it the way I told you to do it. And I had bosses that would say, and if they said that, then I go and do it the way they want me to do it. But I had bosses say, okay, I want to learn from you. Tell me, what's your idea? And we sit down, we talk about it. And they may go, hey, you know, that's a good idea. Go ahead and do it that way. But see, I didn't step outside the fence. Within the fence was to talk with him and to reason with him. All right? So this is just two areas where I'm talking about fences. But God wants, Caleb was fenced in by God. And because he was fenced in, he allowed himself, and see, he wasn't fenced in because God fenced him in. He was fenced in because he stayed within the boundaries God gave him. And that's why I've said here, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb was a man of God that followed God, that did what God asked him to do. And he was a man that trusted that God would do what God said he would do.
Right.
And you know something? God's a pretty big God. He always does what he says he's going to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He was fenced in by God. And there's so much more, but I'm not going to get into all that today. Maybe you're struggling this morning with the concept of being fenced in. I do want you to know, God does not fence you in. I really feel moved of the Lord to say this. God is not fencing you in because he's trying to control you. He is fencing you in because he knows what's best for you.
Right.
And he wants the best for you. So no, you have your free will. You don't have to stay within the fence. But if you refuse to stay within the fence, you're going to miss out on so many blessings that God has for you. You will miss them. You're not going to get the blessings of God and doing things of the world. It does not happen. It just does not happen. God wants to bless you. Listen to me. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to fill you. He wants to encourage you. But it comes his way.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. And I do ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to speak to us, Lord. Encourage us, Father. I pray, Lord God, for a spirit of courage. Lord, that's a blessing this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and then he give you peace. And in that peace, he will give you courage to follow him. Courage. Courage. Courage to resist the ways of the enemy.
Yes, yes.
Courage to resist the ways of the world. And courage to face the Lord and walk to Him.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Impart your courage upon each and every one of us today, Lord. Me included, Lord.
Yes.
I need your courage. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you need prayer, come on up.